Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. We are Reclaiming the Republic. It is now or never, and it is Feedback Friday. So, obviously, I'm just stating the obvious because everybody by now understands that Friday means it's Feedback Friday time. Have a lot to go through, kind of a lot to share with you. But what's really important is that I try to keep on track of what the heck's going on. Now, I know that there's a lot going on in the news. There's the indictments. There's these alleged things that are happening. You know, MAGA, Trump. Folks, I'm going to tell you that the election campaign is going to be furious. Between now and November, it is only going to get more and more. I told you this summer, it was going to ramp up this summer. And summer hasn't even started yet, and we're starting to see, you know, everything starting to ramp up. I mean, was I right? Things were kind of a lull until now. And if you think now it's starting to get hot, it is going to get blazing hot, white hot. And I don't mean that as a racist, because I'm not a racist. I'm talking about it in reference to the hotter of hot. There's red hot, then there's white hot. And the globalists have definitely every, you know, all their interests are all in. They are all in this game. They are looking to end this little experiment called this Constitutional Republic and what we believe to be this autonomy. Now, in my phone call with Paul, we kind of talked a little bit about the globalists, and I've been telling you about this warfare that the globalists are having our own nation fight against us. And so, or wage against us, which is why we're doing that Game Changer show on Monday. So we will pick that back up on Monday. But I want to tell you that, you know, I got feedback. And I'll actually, before I go, let me at least do these few things. On YouTube, if you do a search for Reclaiming the Republic, and I'm actually going to go check because I'm just kind of curious if we've actually been increasing or not, because I don't spend a lot of time on that channel. And as a matter of fact, I noticed that Kenny B had placed the, help me out here, the interview that I had with Michelle Bachmann. And it looks like we've ticked up on some subscribers. But if you go to Reclaiming the Republic, or actually reclaimingtherepublic.org, we have the link to the YouTube channel. You can just click on that and it'll take you right there. And then when you get there, if you have a YouTube account, subscribe. Now, I do not have a YouTube account. So there are videos that people will make comment to that I won't be able to respond. And so the best thing you can do, and I need to ask Kenny B., to actually have people send an email to info@reclaimingtherepublic if you've got a comment or you have a question that you want me to answer. Because comments there, we got to realize that Google is a very hostile entity towards liberty. And what I need to do is, as long as I stay off that platform, then I think, you know, and everybody just watches these things and doesn't make a lot of fuss, because bottom line, it's the fuss that they notice. The only reason, I mean, if they actually digested some of the stuff that I put into these videos, they would consider that, you know, absolutely unacceptable because it's exposing the truth, and they would probably take us down. So I'm really trying to use it as a platform where you can go watch, but don't get caught up in making your comments and actually engaging in, you know, a little, you know, diatribe back and forth with, you know, other people making negative comments, whatever. Let's just try to minimize any activity on that channel other than just watching them. So we do want to see the views go up. There are some very powerful videos. As a matter of fact, our video on immigration regarding, you know, this invasion, it starts with an I instead of immigration, invasion. It says immigration, but it's all about the invasion and what we have to do. Yeah, Congress has the power to regulate immigration, but they do not have the authority to allow, support, or conduct an invasion, which is what they're doing. And so we're calling them to task. We're holding them accountable to that. Now, in addition to the invasion, our presidential vetoes of the Department of Transportation has taken a real good uptick as well. But it's nothing. I mean, it is nothing compared to what it should be. You know, I'm looking at 400 views, and I do know that YouTube does suppress the reporting on a lot of this stuff. And so when we look at, you know, what's up there and what we see in views, I know it's not necessarily accurate, but I don't care about that. It's about the information, getting that up there. And so when these new videos drop, you can actually go look and go, oh, okay. And that's a very good interview with Michelle Bachmann. It's a very good interview. So and as a matter of fact, the whole podcast is on last year's podcast page. So anywho, so subscribe to YouTube if you can, because it will help. And the other thing I wanted to tell you is, if you haven't done so, get your Monix account. Go get a Monix account so that you do referrals, because it isn't ending in July. You know, the world isn't ending in July. We've got a ways to go. I know that, but things are getting worse and worse. And just when you thought they couldn't get much more worse, it does. And why would you think otherwise? Why would you think at some point it would just stop and all of a sudden things would get better? It didn't get better with Trump. It just got worse and worse. And as a matter of fact, you know, when Trump was in his presidency, it got worse because Obama organized, and Bush and everybody else started organizing their revolution, their Bolshevik revolution here in the United States, because Trump is the outlier. They're going after him. It's the same thing happened with Reagan. The same thing happened during Hardy and Coolidge. The same thing happened, throughout the history of time. That's what always happens. The bad guys who haven't completed their revolution, they're out there retracing their steps, you know, patching things up and building and reinforcing. I mean, it's that kind of mess we're in. So if you're looking to actually, you know, get gold and silver, go check out Monix. Now, there are other places. Monix does quantity. So the best prices are with an account. You will get a discount under what they're actually selling for. Because you'll notice that they may be selling, you know, just a little bit under. But if you have an account, there's even better discounts. So anyway, let me just kind of move forward. We're still working on some petitions. I still owe it to Woody to get back to his on the medical freedom. So we're going to get there, and we're going to actually, you know, get these things done. But bottom line, what we want to do is we want to kind of go through, let me go through the gold and silver as they stand today. And what we want to do is kind of give you the, you know, where things were. So when we started, when this all started, before I even actually got engaged, on the 7th of March, gold was at 1814. Today, it's ticked up a little bit from last. Oh, actually, this week, it's the same. It hasn't really ticked up. And it's at 2020, because last week, I told you it would be at 2020, or it was 2020, and it's still at 2020. This week, silver is at 2410, which is down. But when we started, it was at 2007. So if you kind of look at where that's at, I mean, that's the 20% increase, basically, about that, a little less than that now. But the fact is that these are commodities. They will fluctuate. They don't just stay at one point and only go in one direction. They're going to fluctuate. Between now and July, I'm anticipating, unless somebody in the background, because you got to remember, there's a lot of people playing in this, and there's a lot of rich people that are heavily vested in this stuff. So they may actually play, you know, injecting and dumping silver commodities into the market at a lower price, making people think, oh, well, it's not really going up like everybody. That would be a great thing. But the Fed now and the digital currency is happening. And eventually the dollar will be retired. That this new unicoin or whatever they're going to call it is going to be the new currency. And it will be, and it is, just like the dollar, is unconstitutional. The federal government only has the authority to coin metal currency. In other words, gold and silver. And this is, if you look at our digital currency bill, we lay it out there very specifically why and how this was. I mean, this was well defined and discussed during the ratification debates, why the federal government was to only do the metal coins and why states could no longer do their own paper currency and that they needed to use and adopt the metal coin currency, which is why the 10th section of Article 1 requires that states can, or actually forbids the states from passing any law that allows anything other than this gold and silver coin to be the tender for the legal payment of debt. So anyway, so let me dive into some of the things that I think are really, really, really important. That first off, I want to give you some feedback. There is a listener who happens to be a very well-educated lady, and her name is, I'll just call her Cynthia. Forgive me, Cynthia, I haven't told you that I was going to mention you, but I get feedback from her, and she's awesome. And just like every one of you that's listening and those who have given me feedback, even those who just don't understand. I mean, a lot of times I'll say something, you may not understand what I'm saying, or I don't necessarily connect the dots because I'm just kind of doing a monologue and it's not a discussion where you could say, huh, and a good example of that. And again, I'll just reference Cynthia. There was one point in time where I was talking about the McCains, and I was basically saying, I think John McCain Sr., I didn't specify that, but I think the father was a patriot, that John McCain was absolutely a treasonous bastard, that, forgive the expression, but I mean, that's what he was. This guy was bad. He was evil. He should never have been allowed to be in office after he proved that he could not support the Constitution. Just like the Kennedys. Now, when I say the Kennedys, don't think that Teddy Kennedy was a saint. Teddy Kennedy was actually working with the Kremlin and giving them information. I mean, he was passing information to our enemy regarding what Reagan was doing. You can't tell me that that was appropriate or even legal or legitimate. So when we look at, you know, these people and we go, you know, Joe Kennedy was not a good guy. I mean, this guy wanted power. And so I don't think he was a good guy. John F. Kennedy was an outlier somewhat, but John F. Kennedy wasn't a saint either. I mean, there were some things he was trying to stabilize the currency, but in other things, he was being misled. Maybe he was waking up or what have you. That's why they, you know, they shot him down. Now, here's an interesting thing. If you look at the presidents that get shot, the presidents that are elected in a 0 year, in other words, 2000, 2020, 2080, right? Every 20 years, we look at 1980. I mean, when we look at the presidents that are elected in the 0 year, those are the years when assassination attempts are done, where we've had them assassinated. Kennedy in 1960, McKinley, I think it was 2000. And so when we are not 2000, 1900. So when we start looking at what the heck is going on? And, you know, why are these things happening on those types of years? And go, well, is this a coincidence? Well, obviously, Trump wasn't elected in 2020, and there was probably been a good likelihood that there would have been an assassination attempt on him because he's an outlier. I have told you and told you and told you that our election system, even if we all go into the ballot booth and we have full accountability, it is rigged on the players because the Electoral College is not functioning and the party is absolutely in control of those people who are, you know, filling these positions. In other words, they have to be at some level of control. And you don't, even though you'll see the RNC establishment, there is a divide in the RNC. The RNC has, Liz Cheney and many other Republicans have really shown their colors when Trump was unelected, or I should say when he didn't win the election as he should have. However, all that being said, you know, 4 years have passed, and many people, with Liz Cheney being gone, many people think that the establishment has taken a good punch on the chin. The establishment may try to actually put up what you will see as a really good, viable candidate. And as a matter of fact, just so you understand, DeSantis and Trump cannot be on the same ticket because they're both from the same state. That all being said, when we look at who the Republican Party is going to put up to basically, you know, compete against Trump, I'm here to tell you that those people, it's just kind of like with Romney and how the establishment tried to go again. Romney would have been an outlier because it seemed like the Republican establishment kept on putting up different people to basically say, well, not Romney, but this guy, not Romney, but this guy. You know, Perry was one of those guys. I forget, you know, all the shills that the Republican Party put up. Who was the other guy? He was, a senator from Pennsylvania, a theologian and a theocrat. Anyway, I think, you know, I'd have to look at the information because I'm bad with names. But bottom line, all of these people were shills. I mean, even Perry. Perry got off of the narrative and actually started saying some things that they had to reel him back in, because in the next debate at the Republican Party, after he talked about Social Security being unconstitutional, next thing you know, they challenged him on it, and they said, oh, no, it's constitutional, kind of under his breath. But folks, I mean, obviously somebody had gotten to him to where they said, okay, if you know you want to play here, you got to play by accepting, you know, what you have as legitimate, what we've done as legitimate. You can't challenge this stuff. And bottom line, you have to tote that line on the establishment. Now, interestingly enough, Romney was, you know, a unique character, but I've gone down this path of a rat hole and I need to get back out of it. Bottom line, the feedback that I really want to get to is not who we talk about as bad players, good players, what have you. There are lots of things that are happening. There are plans that are being executed that are absolutely evil, and the plan is going to continually be executed, and they're trying to make sure that they stay on schedule. Because what they need to do is they need to be in the right position at the right time when they get everything to collapse so that they can be on the spot, Johnny on the spot, to say, folks, sorry, game over. We have to surrender our Constitution because, you know, either that or China is going to attack us and we're going to war against the world because we can't service our debt. I am here to tell you that and everything that we're going to be presented with will be a facade. We cannot surrender. We cannot allow that to happen. We need to actually stand up on the Constitution and tell the federal government that everything that they've done illegitimately, we're not accountable for. And the states need to send that message. The problem is that we, the people, have to focus on the states, which means that we need to make sure that there's enough state legislatures in office that are actually telling people, hey, the day is coming when we're going to need to say this. And I want to make sure everybody understands, if you don't say this, the blood is on your hands. I mean, there's blood on everybody's hands already. But when they actually walk away, if they turn their back to what the federal government is going to do, we know this is going to happen. We know that the federal government will create the conditions, and the globalists, they're going to create the condition where they have to put aside the Constitution. They have to. They have to, because as long as we have the Constitution, we can take it back. So here we are. We're looking at all of this, and we're looking at all the different conspiracies, because I touch on them. I touch on them. Folks, don't waste your time. Don't waste your time on these things. Not that they're not important, but we don't have enough time, because what'll end up happening? This happens to everybody. It happened to me. I got so consumed, I started buying all of these books regarding the conspiracy, regarding, Masonry, regarding all of these different organizations that would co-opted and coerced, or I should say, had basically been penetrated, compromised, and then became a coercive operation or organization. And I'm here to tell you folks that it's running deep and it's running far. It's like that. You're coming up to your door, you're being chased. You know there's a really bad thing, whether you're living in the woods and it's a grizzly bear, or whether it's a bunch of gang members that are coming to, to beat you up or to, take your everything you've got, whatever. And all you need to do is open that door. And as long as you're focused on the Chinese fire drill, as long as you're focused on the distraction, it's really hard for you to get that key into that keyhole, twist it, and open that door. Because it takes a little bit of precision, taking that small little object to get it in that equally small hole to actually, create that insertion, connection, and turn to get that lock opened. And what ends up happening, and you see this all the time, as a matter of fact, there's a bunch of videos out there that prove that the person that is standing there distracted is the person that strikes out at the plate, is the person that actually gets mauled by the bear, is the person that actually gets beaten up, or, tragedy befalls that person. Well, that person is our nation. If we allow ourselves to maintain, or if we allow ourselves to be continually caught up in the distractions, this is why I tell people, you can spend a lot of time. There's a lot of information. We can prove all of this. And as a matter of fact, I think it's okay to have, a website if you want to do that, but there's plenty of them. And so if we're focused on actually going down the path of getting people informed, getting people involved, and getting people to start leading and moving, then all that time that we're doing is actually being blessed, and we will be blessed. It's not like you're doing bad and telling people about evil. Somebody's got to do it. But as far as I'm concerned, there's nobody doing and working on the solution. We don't have enough people. In the conversations that I'm going to cover when we come back, I'm going to basically let you know that, these people are starting to get it. We actually have people in Georgia, Wyoming, South Dakota, Montana, Virginia, and Missouri that are actually stepped up and committed to actually doing as much as they possibly can in preserving the Constitution and preserving your liberties. These people are heroes. A hero is somebody that actually steps out of what they are doing in their normal life to actually dive on a bullet or a grenade, just dive in front of a bullet or dive on a grenade to save somebody's life or to save this nation. And that's what we're doing, folks. We'll be right back after this promo.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
You know, as I look at things, things aren't getting any better. And I keep on telling you this, but even in my own life, even though I've been able to do all of these things, you know, and not do it for money, do it because I believe in our self-government, that we all have a responsibility to be involved. And so, you know, I live in a state that is so aggressive that they're actually committing what I would say is hostile economic warfare against their people, because our minimum wage is almost $16. It's $15.74 right now. And I believe next year it'll be over $16, going on $17. This is insane. I mean, if you look at the percentage that they're raising minimum wage, even at the times when even the GDP, or I should say inflation, wasn't even correlated to that. I mean, the national is, what, 7-something? And I do know wages have not gone up. And I do know that it is hard for a business to deal with inflation, that inflation itself is the warfare, but raising wages is a part of that. And so we happen to be living in a state where I can't afford to have some kid anymore come by. It's just getting that costly to, you know, to work over our house, to do the things I can't do. So somebody's got to do it. And what that means is I have to, you know, get out there, and it takes me a lot more time because of my, I guess, the infirmities, because of my ailments, or, you know, my hips and lungs, and I'm not the young chicken and the hard, you know, get it done quick kind of guy. When we moved up here, you know, we kind of moved into a place that required a lot of maintenance. As a matter of fact, just as a, you know, a little personal note, we bought a home that is a 1 acre. It's a 1 acre lot, but we bought a home that was on, it's a view lot with a slope to it. And I mean, the entire lot is a slope. And the person that built this home, except for where the house sits, of course, but, you know, there's these little levels that actually I've been creating levels with, you know, with retaining walls and so forth. That's what I've been doing. And it's really hard to continue doing those things, especially when you've got a 1 acre lot with, you know, all of these slopes. And this guy put, instead of landscaping, what he did, because we live in a very pine forest area, he cleared the lot. I mean, there were hardly any trees. There were no pine trees on this lot. He cleared them all out except for one. And he put in a lawn, which if you've ever, you know, tried to mow a lawn on, you know, a grassy hill, because actually I bought a tractor lawnmower to do this, and it took hours on the weekend. It was like I had to do it, and it consumed most of my time when we first moved here to mow this yard, 1 acre on a slope. And apparently he had a quadratac with a little, you know, mower attachment that he dragged behind, that he was able to just ride all over the place and get everything mowed. Great. Well, I'm not going to do that, and I'm not going to spend that kind of money. I'm not a professional landscaper. Maybe this guy was, I don't know. But we started converting it so that we didn't have to do so much maintenance. Well, you always have to do some maintenance, pulling weeds or what have you. But we started really converting it. So we've taken away a lot of the grass and either put beauty bark, rock, or what have you out there with some landscaping plants and what have you. But bottom line, I mean, even today, to getting things done, it's even hard. Even though I don't have nearly as much to mow, it's even harder for me. My mobility and everything else is just, that is the problem. So my point is this, is that I understand how hard it is to take the time to do this. And I feel like I have a full-time job doing this radio show and helping people. And so there are plenty of people that constantly whisper, you know, you need to take money for this. And I go, no. As soon as money comes in, as soon as we actually have a contributor, somebody that's actually paying, he who pays the piper calls the tune. And as far as I see this, we can't allow that. We can't allow ourselves to be paid. It's one thing to create an organization. I'm not trying to do that. I feel like the organization is you. The organization is your state. You know, I can't create a federal government or a union, but what we can do is we can create these states and bring them together on their own accord to working together so that we can start moving forward in holding our government accountable at the county, state, and federal levels. Folks, this is how it's got to be done, and this is the way it needs to be done. I can't see any other way. Now, I can't tell you how humbling it is to constantly be introduced and working with such great people. And so in Georgia, the heavens have opened with Georgia, because we had a person in Georgia for a long time, and now all of a sudden we've got other people that are really active in getting work done. And so I actually see Georgia really just working forward and jumping into this mix, starting to lead because they have that type of team. Because you just get this feeling. You go, wow, they're really starting to pull together and fight. Wyoming now is a little bit different. Now, I can tell you, I've been with Wyoming since 2018. I've worked with lots of different great people, all sorts of great organizations. And we all kind of agree on the same thing, except with one problem: unifying. And so the best way I can kind of put it is it's like I've got a lot of cowboys, you know, because Wyoming is a cowboy state. I'm not talking speaking gender, you know, cow people, you know, boys and girls. And so we have all of these different leaders of the different genders that, you know, have their own campfire, and getting them to pick up their rocks and move together so that we can create one big campfire so that everybody is working on the same thing together is like herding cats. And it's not just like herding cats, getting them to leave one room or another. We're herding them to get them to just sit and pose for a picture. And so this is difficult. I didn't understand, you know, some of the nuances, but I truly believe that there are so many good people. And I realize that the Wyoming's not alone. We're just so far along that we've kind of realized, you know, that we have this innate problem. It's a problem that is, you know, already baked into your state, that all of these different patriot organizations, you know, they all have their own evangelical leadership. When I say evangelical, I'm only referring to the money-making side, where these people have created a money organization, and now they're making a living off of that, almost like, you know, they're preaching the word. And so it has been my experience that those people, they become tied to the money coming in, because that I see this all the time. There are people that are so dependent on that money to come in, to put food on their table, to keep the lights on, that they have to feed their need and make sure that this stuff, and so when that happens, I just consider them compromised. It's not that they're not good people. It's not that they, you know, don't know good things and so forth, but they're compromised. They are no longer as efficient and effective as they should be and could be, because they have needs. We all have needs. And without mentioning any names, there's a gentleman that I worked with back before I even moved up here. And, you know, he kept on always saying, well, I need to make money at this. I need to make money at this. And it just made me think that, you know, the Lord wants us to do these things. And if you are coming in saying, I've got to make money at this, I don't believe the Lord will bless you. And that guy has not had, you know, not that he's not blessed, but he's not had the blessings he's needed in being successful in what he's doing. I mean, he hits these little things of success, but he's never got to where he needs to be. And at the end of the year, you know, he looks back and he's made more friends and he's more done more things, but he's not got any more resources or any more money coming in, revenue streams. I mean, things may get a little bit better, but they're not what they should be. It's kind of like that couple, the young kids that get married and wait to get their ducks in a row before they have kids. It's like the people that even wait to get married. They want to have their ducks in a row before they do that. Your ducks will never be in a row. And I just say, if you start doing and acting in faith instead of doing it for, you know, your own benefit, you know, because it's what you need to have done, your criteria, your, you know, your qualifications, this is something, the standard that you have implied or inflicted upon yourself. So anyway, it's interesting, but that's one of the things that I've noticed that, you know, is really standing in my face, that we have all of these cowboys and cowgirls that are doing really great things. They've, you know, got their own little campfires and, you know, and I can't get them to pick up the rocks and move together and join. Well, I'm getting some, but we're not where we really need to be. And so I guess let me just say this before I go too much further. I would ask that you start praying that we all of us who love liberty, who want to save our Constitution in America, that we all have a softening of our heart and a softening of our mind to be able to put aside our differences and our self-interests so that we can work together in all things in preserving the Constitution and our liberty. Now, with South Dakota, you know, they're growing. South Dakota, the Citizens for Liberty movement is growing. Now, there's been talk, we've looked at, you know, growing it even further than one could imagine, but that takes time. When you're dealing with an organization, this is the good part or bad part about an organization, because it goes both ways. It takes time for organizations to make decisions, because when it's just one person like myself, I mean, I can instantly make that decision. Okay, I'm not doing that anymore. I'm not going to go down that path. Boom. And that decision's done. But for that type of change to occur in an organization, you need to get all of the stakeholders. You know, if you got a board, you got to get the board together. You got to all go through it. And there's going to be all these questions. And for them to get to a point where they can create a consensus takes time. And so just to be clear, this is why you really want to have a very, you know, very well-defined mission as an organization. This is what you're going to be doing. And this is what you need, you know, this is how you're going to grow. You're going to grow on those same principles of how you operate. So anyway, Montana is actually, you know, in the past month, we've gotten a lot of efforts in unifying and bringing people together. This is great. This is exactly, just like with Georgia, we're actually getting people that, you know, aren't necessarily cowboys. I mean, these guys are patriots, and they're not worried about what they're doing. They're actually agreeing and understanding that they need to unify. They need to work together. It's all about unity, folks. It is. It really means that we all have to come together on these things. Now, Virginia, I just got a message that it looks like, you know, there's a little bit of growth. If this is the case, Virginia's organization will double in size. And so that's good news. That's great news. I mean, we want to see double all the time. Let's see you come to the table. Let's see you so we can help you start doubling and quadrupling. And even, you know, when you really start getting out there, bringing people together, we have to let everybody clearly understand that by coming into this organization, we're here to unify with all on the Constitution. We're not here to just say, you know, it's just about this organization and not work with any other organization. We want to work with all organizations. We want them to work with us. This is kind of the same mentality that the framers of the state said, you know, we want to work with the other states and we want them to work with us. And they had to create that union, which then in turn, I mean, this was all in response to the crisis of the Stamp Acts, right? I mean, if you look at the revolutionary history, that's what they did. This is what we have to do. We already know our governments are, you know, going in the wrong direction. So we, the people, that doesn't mean that we're not organizing a government. We're just basically unifying on the Constitution saying, look, you know, you are our government. You are based on this Constitution, and we need you to actually get in line with that. If not, then we need to replace you because you're just a person, not our government. Our government is what is constitutional. And so when people start understanding these types of things, that what is constitutional are those limited roles, responsibilities, powers, and properties that are delegated. If you've got people in government that are doing things that aren't within those enumerations, then they're actually insurrecting. They're actually violating, and they have no business being in government because they're not fulfilling their oath of office that they're legally bound to do. So anyway, I just wanted to tell you that this past week, even though it's just like a lot of work on my part, I've told you this before, don't thank me. You don't have to, you know, I don't want your money. All I ask is stand up and start acting. That is the greatest thanks. That is the greatest respect you could give me. Because when you're actually getting out and getting others to unify, not on me, but on the Constitution he gave us, he, our Lord. The divine hand of providence was clearly identified as the beneficent who gave us that document. The framers actually pointed to him as the beneficent and said it was through him and his love and tender mercies that, you know, gave them the tranquil peace to actually establish that Constitution. So anyway, I think it's really, really important that if you're looking and you don't know who, and I don't have your state mentioned, then you need to be the first one. As a matter of fact, I hope to have eventually all of these leaders, these different leaders in these different states, come onto this radio show and actually, you know, talk about how, you know, I started working with them and how, you know, we together, me and them, actually started building their state network and creating their state organizations. Because eventually you'll have a state and then you'll have county organizations. You start off in your own county, but at that same point, you're all acting as both the state and the county. Then when you bring new counties in, then you'll have that responsibility of coordinating between counties, the state, and then operating your own county still. So Anyway, I mean, the sky is the limit in all of the growth that you'll be able to do. But also think of this, that as you move forward and as you help educate the electorate and you invigorate them and you bring them to, you know, acting, engaging on the things that they need to be engaged on, then you become, believe it or not, you're going to become the leader. So you need them to come into your organization so that they can actually help grow that organization, because you're going to end up having to leave. So we always have to have a succession plan in preparing, you know, people to replace us. And as a matter of fact, as the states grow, I've told these people, you know, these leaders, that as the states grow, my ability to meet with them on a weekly basis will probably diminish to where we may only get to a once a month meeting. You know, first it'll go every other week, and then it'll go to once a month, and maybe once every 5 weeks, once every 6 weeks. Whatever I have room on my plate to do, as well as maintaining, this is why I was kind of telling you that, you know, I have other things that I have to do. So when it comes down to this, and this is all going back to, you know, this concept of my feedback of, you know, what can I do and what am I doing? I really don't have time. I don't have time to watch the news. I don't have time to stay abreast with all that. I look at the headlines and I go, oh my gosh, things really are getting terrible. That's not going to change. What can change is we actually getting involved and we actually making impacts. We stopping government from passing bad bills. That's a good thing. We actually getting enough people in, you know, in government at the county level and at the state level to actually start creating resolutions and start getting them to move and get engaged in what we're doing. There you have it. Now we've come full circle on this little thing called, you know, what YGR is, you know, keeps on talking ill about, you know, going down these rat holes. You know, even though there are a lot of really good, smart people that can give you scientific evidence, like Dr. Frank, on the elections, even if we actually went back to a pure system that the will of the people at the election on the ballot was actually expressed and the outcome, you know, was suitable for the will of the people. In other words, we have legitimate elections and full election integrity that will not change our government. Because if we don't have candidates that are prepared to support the Constitution and understand it, then we're in the same boat. And they're going to continually go down that point. And next thing you know, they'll come back around and they'll try to pervert our election system because they're already perverting our currency, our education, our energy, and everything else. The only way we can turn things around is by actually getting engaged in the petitia militia and getting engaged in holding your public servants and your government accountable. That's it. So why spend so much time on these myopic issues other than the fact if you're a subject matter expert, then we need your expertise. We need your organization and expertise to work with us to create the petitions we need to move forward in doing everything that needs to be done in calling out government. This is why, you know, we would have top-notch petitions, if we actually got, you know, doctors that are working with, you know, like Dr. Frank on the election stuff. We have focus and we want petitions on this. But just going around and speaking to people and telling them we got to take our election system back is not going to do it. So no disrespect to many of these people that are, you know, trying to do the noble thing of informing and in, you know, creating a level of intelligence so that people can make better decisions, yeah, that's great. But that and $5 will get you a cup of coffee. And bottom line, without the $5, you don't bring any coffee home. It's just like going to the market. How many eggs can you bring home from the market with what Dr. Frank is telling you? You still need money to do that. We still need to hold government accountable and actually make them answer for these things. Because it's not about the one thing. It's about the entire thing. This is why we have to hold them fully accountable. So anyway, before I, you know, run out of time, let me actually just do one more thing. And I'll get into why counties matter. I'm still working on that article. But the last thing I want to cover is that the enemy knows how you're getting informed. They know that AM radio is the mechanism, and the preponderance of those that are on it are conservative. There's hardly any progressives whatsoever that actually, you know, are what I would call, well, the best way to say it is there's no progressives that are actually using the AM format. I mean, you'll find them on the satellite. You'll actually find progressives on satellite. There used to be progressives on the AM radio, and maybe only in elite markets like LA or what have you, just to help drown out some of the conservatives. But bottom line, the automobile manufacturers are actually putting their sights on no longer manufacturing AM radio, and there's a good likelihood that the electronics industry may go down that path as well. So how is it that you're going, if you don't have a radio to tune into the AM, you know, band, you know, AM band, that's what it's called, it's a frequency band, then how are you going to hear it? You know, it's actually, they're making everything, they're doing all of this work, and their focus on this one little myopic thing is to kill AM radio. Now, I know a lot of people out there that are defending AM radio. I am defending AM radio as well. I'm just here to tell you that the statistics that they're using point to it's a dead industry. This is why I'm going to tell you again, you need to understand what monetizing this show, Reclaiming the Republic, and this content and information, and why this could actually make radio shows relevant, where all of a sudden there's a huge uptick on AM listeners and the AM use and everything else. Because right now, it's just a bunch of, you know, babble coming from the national syndicated folks that are entertainers, and you've got to turn off entertainers, and you need to start listening, as tough as it is to listen to somebody that is actually covering content and not entertaining. You need the content. You need the facts. You need to understand what the heck's going on, not just to be informed that it's all happening and it's all bad and, you know, what are we going to do? We actually have solutions. We're here to help. As you know, this is not about entertainment. It is about action and solving the problem. I'm G.R. Mobley from Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless.
The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, state lands, housing, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities, responsibilities and powers that belong to the states is by you and I and local businesses getting involved in supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to ReclaimingTheRepublic.org and go to the contributions page, and you can become a listed supporter of liberty.